We're just going to finish off our section on our sisters. If you remember, we've been talking about leadership, kind of skimming over a lot of it. You can go into so much detail. Sometimes we can say too much, you know, it can be too detailed that it becomes almost complex. I think one of the things we try to do is make it so that it's a lot more understandable to get a basis of it. What's the purpose? Are we looking to appoint elders tomorrow? No. What we are looking to do is understand what leadership is and the order of the Lord's church. That's the purpose. And we have to pray that we as a church can adapt these things into how we serve our God. God is a God of order, not disorder. God has things in place in certain ways, and we as a church need to strive towards those things, and so that's what we've been looking to do. I pray there are people aspiring to be elders. I really do. We've looked at passages of scripture that are helping us to learn about what an elder is. We've also looked at deacons, we've looked at being a preacher, we've looked at various aspects. We've just been touching on the sisters, some may say some controversial topics. I don't think they're controversial at all. I think, you know, when we look at the teaching and look at it at face value, look at the basics of it and the basis of it, we learn so much about what God wants of his church. God never intended everything to be complicated. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look today, we're going to finish off the section on the sisters. We're going to specifically look at this aspect of women being silent. What does that mean? What does that mean? And so we'll just touch on that. And then as we conclude this week, we'll have three classes left on this series, and they're going to be based on the church. Because we all have responsibilities, you know. We could go so much further, and hopefully over time other subjects will come, such as the leadership in the home, the father. And we kind of touched slightly on it. But leadership in the home, husband's leadership with his wife, the wife's leadership with her own children. We're certainly going to look at, as a church, our responsibilities to each other, but also our responsibilities to our leaders within the church. So hopefully we'll touch on these things over the next three lessons following to today. So we're going to touch on this today, try and get a kind of a foundational understanding so that it helps us to understand a bit more about our sisters in the church, and certainly with reference to the talking about the woman being silent. And so we'll go through that and get a better understanding. So let's start with our first passage of scripture. So this is what everything's based on, is the Bible. This is the Apostle Paul writing. This is with reference to a church, a letter that was written. 1 Corinthians 14. I've put 37 there, but I just want to read those two verses there, 34 and 35.
Women should remain silent in churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must speak in submission as the Lord says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husband at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church.
Okay, we'll just hold it there. We're going to come back to some of these points. First of all, these topics are sometimes totally ignored. There are congregational leaders that put no restrictions at all on these topics. Some of it is due to ignorance or lack of understanding. The aspect of male-dominated culture or sexism goes on in the world today. So you'll find there are places I've been to where the women are getting up and reading on the Lord's Day to the church. There are congregations where women have stood up praying. There are congregations where women have done other things within the church, or maybe taken on leadership roles, not necessarily in the Church of Christ, of course, but with reference to denominational groups. A lot of the problems stem from a lack of understanding. Taking things out of context is a biggie. You know, one of the tools the world uses is to take things out of context or to give it a meaning that isn't actually there. And so to some of these things, there are women who serve in denominational groups, maybe as elders and deacons and preachers and ministers and pastors and all kinds of names that you see with reference to that. Now then, this is the question. What can we do when we see passages like this? We could just look at that and say, okay, women should remain silent in the churches. We could just take that and say, that's what it says. So you women now, that's it. Total silence. We could say that, couldn't we? I think we'd be making a mistake if we did that. What we can do is this. Firstly, we can do nothing. So some people could just skip over this and ignore it altogether and say it doesn't matter. Quite often that decision is done based on fear. Fear of what? Fear of offending people. Fear of being the world looking in at the church and saying this church is male focused and these people are sexist against the women. They could look at it like that. So that the easiest thing to do, we'll just leave it. We'll come back to it another day when we understand it better. That is one thing. Another thing we can do is too much. We can overdo it. We could take this passage as we read it, just with long line with no context, and say women remain silent in the churches. That means we don't want to hear a woman make a sound in the churches. That's going to the other extreme. That is done with fear. Another thing we can do is draw our own conclusion. Well, what we'll do, we'll make a compromise. We don't want to offend people. We don't want to disrespect God. We'll try and meet somewhere in the middle and we'll figure something out that maybe is a compromise. And listen, none of those things are good. You cannot compromise the teaching of God. You cannot ignore commands of God, but at the same time you have to be careful not to misread them, misquote them and misuse them and make mistakes in that way. And so even compromising is almost like taking a safety net and saying this is the safety net. The reality is this, you have to go to Scripture and understand the teaching. Why is this being spoken? Who is it being spoken to? What is the reason behind it? What does it mean? How does it affect the church today? Firstly, I want to say this. We have to be very careful. Remember, respecting the sisters of the church play a critical role in the ministry. A critical role. And our sisters are so important in the plan of God. And this is definitely, God is not diminishing abilities and saying, you know, one is better than the other, but God is saying, this is my order. This is the order of things and how I want them to be. And I want to start by saying this. The first thing that every Christian needs to know this. Our purpose is to honor God. That is our purpose. An elder who is responsible as an elder, his job is to honour God through his leadership and eldership. A deacon responsible for honouring God through service and through the way that he carries out his duties. A mother, as a mother, honouring God through bringing up her children. You know, brothers and sisters, and the unity of the church is about honouring God. Everything that we do is about honouring God. When we find things in Scripture, these things are there for a reason, they're there for a purpose. They show God's order, and by doing things in God's order, we give honour to our great God. Now, I want us to start, we're going to go into 1 Timothy chapter 2. I want us to just take a look at this. So verse 8 through to verse 15, please.
Therefore, I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. I also want the women to dress in decency, in decency and propriety, adoring themselves, not with, not with elaborate textiles or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds, appropriate for women who profess to worship God. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to assume authority over a man. She must be quiet, for Adam was formed first, then Eve. And Adam was not the one deceived, it was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through childbearing. They continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety.
Okay, thank you. Therefore, he starts off, I want men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands, okay? Relationship. It's about, you know, it's not about a man praying and listen to what I've got to say and listen to me and let me draw attention to me. It's about this right attitude with God. It's this right relationship with God. It's this mindset focus. So there is the emphasis that is being placed upon the man. But what does he say? Everywhere to pray without anger, without disputing. And then he says then, I also want the women, and then he talks about dressing modestly and decently, and he goes through a whole list of things that are important. What are we talking about, sisters? Honouring God. What are we talking about, brothers? Honouring God. Brothers, lifting up holy hands. Relationship, being right with God. Not speaking, listen to me, speaking, I'm giving honour and glory to my God. Sisters, what are we doing? We're honouring God. We're showing honour to Him. Okay, godly women is what the passage is talking about. Godly women. That is the purpose. The Apostle Paul turns to the woman and he gives them a picture of what it means to be a godly woman. A godly woman in that passage. Godly women who dress themselves in a way that shows a devotion to who? To God. Not a devotion to men. When men are praying, he says, I want them to lift up holy hands. I don't want men praying, getting attention for themselves. I don't want men seeking people to look upon them like they're some amazing thing. Honouring God. And then he says in the passage, the same way, godly women. He gives a picture of what it means to be a godly woman. Very important. Godly women dress themselves in a way that shows a devotion to God. Do you see the picture? So we're talking about God. We're not talking about ourselves. When we're talking, and we're going to come to, when we come on to this aspect of silence in the teaching, what are we talking about? We're talking about incapability. Listen, it's talking about how we dress. We all have the freedom of choice to dress how we like. Everybody, listen, you women can come in here with whatever you like. You can come in here revealing your bodies. You can come in here with skirts that barely cover anything. You can come in here dressed inappropriately. That is the choice that you make. But what the Bible says is that godly women dress themselves in a way that shows devotion to God. And so this is about our attitude towards God. Our mindset towards God. We live in a world that says women should be able to stand up and preach. No, that is what the world wants. But we're not interested in what the world wants. We're interested in what God wants. I want to know how I can praise my God. I want to know how I can worship my God, how I can give honour to my God. So if my God says that a woman is silent regarding teaching and speaking as a teacher amongst the brothers, why do I abstain? Why would you abstain from that? It would be because I'm giving honour to God. In the same way where here he says godly women dress themselves in a way that shows devotion to God. You see, you could come here today and there could be a brother in the assembly who's struggling with maybe sexual desires. And clothing that you wear could cause your brother to sin. That could cause him to sin. That could cost him his salvation. But at the same time, it could do the same for yourself as well, because then you're thinking to yourself, what is he saying? Well, God is saying, and the Apostle Paul is saying to the women, this is the picture of what it means to be godly. The attention is not to be drawn to your clothing or your body, but to your good works that you do for the Lord, because we're talking about honouring God. And so the passage, it draws our attention to that area when he says that. But with good deeds and appropriate for women who profess to worship God. And so the mindset that we have as a church is based upon not pleasing one another, but pleasing God. So, you know, if a sister is causing brothers to sin, then we would expect somebody to go to the sister and say, listen, you know, we love you, and but you've got to change the way you're dressing. It's affecting people. It could affect people here, and vice versa. So that's part of our understanding. The attention is not to be drawn to your clothing. The attention is with reference to your good works towards your Lord. And we are talking about, of course, women's silence, and we're going to look at that because that's what we're looking at. But, you know, in this modern day society, it can be very hard because of the fact that we live in a world now where everything goes. You know, I sat with my father last night, we put the TV on, we were watching something that we thought was appropriate. Within a very short period of time, there was all this glory given to men dressed up as women. And we're thinking, man, you know, we're sitting here watching TV, we thought it was okay. Within a very short period of time, there's a whole load of people giving honour and joy and everything to somebody dressed as a woman. And you see, that is the world that we live in today. The society today says it's old fashioned to follow the rules that the Church of Christ follow. These Christians who are following the Word of God, have you seen them? They don't let the women teach and preach on a Sunday to the congregation and all these things. And so the problem is this, that we have got to understand who we are giving honour to. That we're giving honour to God in that way. God wants women to wear good works. Now, this doesn't mean, hey, sisters, this doesn't mean you can't wear nice clothes and look good, of course. You know, and even as sisters come in here to worship, you know, you're dressing, you're giving honour to God. You know, you're preparing yourself for Him. But God wants women to wear, more importantly than anything, self-control. And you know, we think of Galatians 5, of course, we think of the fruits of the Spirit and things that we have to dress ourselves with and clothe ourselves with, all these things. They're the things, and that's the point. So the point of verse 9 is that godly women do not draw attention to herself by what she's wearing for clothing or how she does her hair or her jewelry. Her goal is not for people to look at her for that. Rather, her goal is to have people to look at her because she is working for the Lord. She is serving the Lord, and she is showing through actions a devotion to the Lord. And we say, well, why bring all this up? We're not talking about clothing, are we? No, we're talking about honouring God. And so what we have to do is examine the scriptures and see what God wants of his people. How does God want his church to function? How does God want the brothers, the leaders to act? We've seen that over the weeks, haven't we? We've been looking at that. But also the sisters play a very key part and a very key role in this. I'm not saying that we have to put dull clothing on and arrive here all in dull clothes. No, we can wear nice clothing and look good and come here on the Lord's Day and want to look good. But what is our focus is what's in here. You see, our focus needs to be giving honour to God and giving glory to His holy name. So this comes into our study when we're looking at the situation. So that's one situation there to think about. You know, when we are looking at the Bible, teaching and seeing what the Bible tells us, we have to consider what the focus is here. The context is, what is the focus? It's about doing God's will. It's about being right before Him. It's not God saying that one is better than the other. It's not like this is God saying this is my order. You go to a workplace, they'll have an order. You go to a workplace and say this person does that wrong, that person does that wrong. That's the person you report to, that, and that's the order of your workplace. But even in the church, God has an order. Now, this isn't a business. Never treat the church as a business, ever. This is no business. This is no company. This is a family. This is the Lord's family. Like your home, the mother, the father, the children, it's a family. You know, it's a wonderful relationship, and that is very special. Another thing is this, brethren. We can take it too far. Women being silent in the church, taking the words, women keep silent in the churches. We looked at the passage. And it is shameful for women to speak in church. As we can take that statement as absolute. Shameful for a woman to make a sound. It's ridiculous to think that. But there are people that would claim that and make that to be as it sounds. Taking just those words, women keep silent in the churches, and it is shameful for women to speak in the church. And those holding this view argue that women may not teach anybody. No Bible classes, no women classes, no children classes, and even so much as a comment to ask a question in a Bible class. Or even take a confession and things like that. These things are taken out of context, these things are overdone because people are looking at it in the wrong way. God doesn't want his church like that. You know, my home. In my home, we all have voices. You know, we're a family. Everybody speaks in my home. Everybody speaks in our home. Paul did not impose an absolute silence upon women in the church. Okay? And what we have to understand is how God's order is set out. We are commanded to sing in the church, and singing is a form of speaking. When we sing today, we're speaking. So when I hear my sisters singing today, which is always beautiful to listen to, they are speaking. They're speaking. They're declaring their love for God. They're declaring many things. Women are commanded to sing in the church, and singing is a form of worship. Ephesians 5:19.
Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord.
Okay, that's everybody. You know, but the Apostle Paul says women are to be silent in the church, and it's a disgraceful for them to. No, here, speaking to one another. When we sing hymns and psalms, we sing to each other. We sing glory to God. We honour God, but we sing to each other. Part of the singing in worship is about singing to each other. It's declaring together our relationship and unity in our relationship with God. Making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Of course, that's another subject as well. That's where our sound comes from. Though it comes out of our voices, God isn't listening to pianos and organs and drums and violins. He's listening to the words that we sing. He's listening to our hearts. And he's listening to the things. And the sisters are included in that. So if we was to say absolute silence, that contradicts the teaching that we've already looked at. Of course it doesn't mean that. Colossians 3:16 again.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Okay, so when we're singing, we're all singing. What are we doing? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That is part of our worship. That is part of what we do. You know, we don't say, listen, sisters, this particular song, you won't be able to sing this publicly. We sing all the songs together as a body. And it's a unified way of edification, but also giving honour and glory to our God. And so when we look at the passage, if we're going to take it literally and say the Bible says women have got to be silent in the churches, then what are we saying? Women, please don't sin.
That would be an awful day, wouldn't it? And of course, it's not saying at all. And so you see how we have to understand the situation. Women are commanded to confess Christ before men. This involves speaking. How can you confess before men and not speak to them? Let's have a look. Matthew 10:32.
Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven.
Okay, thank you. Okay, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. Let's just look at one more. James 5:16.
Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man.
Yes, avails much, yeah. Thank you. It just goes off the edge there, unfortunately. It's my laptop that does that. I say, so women may confess their sins to others, which will involve speaking. Okay? It involves speaking. Listen, what do we do when we say, right, if at the conclusion of this hymn, if anyone needs the prayers of the church, if you haven't even confessed things to confess, remain standing. But if we go literally and say women are to remain silent in the churches, then what we'll do is we'll have a thing that any women who want to make any confessions line up outside, and we'll send somebody out, and that person will take all your confessions, then that person will come back in, and you can come back in, and he'll speak on your behalf. You see how ridiculous that is? Of course not. That is absolutely not what the passage is saying when it says women be silent in churches. Women confess in the church. And you're able to do that. That's what the Bible teaches. You know, most can see the utter, you know, the craziness of assuming that a woman has not got a voice. But there are some things that we need to know, and these things we'll look at. Keep silent and speak are defined by context. If anyone speaks, let him keep silent in the church. Verse 25, let those two or three prophets speak, let the first keep silent. And we'll come back to that in a second. I didn't want to put that in there. We'll go back to that passage. But listen, it is clear that what we're doing with reference to speaking, when we're talking about speaking, is we're talking about the teaching. We're talking about that side of it. Let your women keep silent in the churches. And along with previous paragraphs, it shows that women are permitted to sing. We've looked at that. Women are permitted to confess Christ or confess sin. You know, if a woman's baptized, we take a confession, do we not? I'm going to take her outside to do that. And so all of these things she will do. The woman speaking is contrasted with this, being submissive. Being submissive. That means that a woman is perfectly capable of getting up and probably preaching the next sermon. Yesterday, our sisters were here. Our sisters were here. They were having fellowship together. I wasn't here, I'm not sure, but they may have had passages of scriptures read. They may have had some thoughts spoken. Certainly spent time together in fellowship. And capable sisters, even in previous events that they've held, capable sisters of this congregation have opened the Bibles up and taught the sisters Bible teaching. Why? Because they're capable of doing it. Just as much as if it was permitted, a sister could stand here on a Sunday morning and preach a sermon just as good as any man. Just as good. Women have got Bible knowledge. Women know their passages of scriptures. They're no fools. Women study the scriptures. Women, sisters, know these things. But the woman speaking is contrasted with being submissive. Now, we talked a minute ago, if you remember, at the start by saying, what is our purpose? It's to honor God. So what a great blessing when a woman who is capable can show submissiveness, can show this submission in her own self by saying the Bible says for me to stand up and do that while the men are present would dishonor my God and would go against his will. And so therefore, in order to honor my God, I will refrain from that in order to show to be submissive. He says, you are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive. Verse 34, submissive is submitting to authority or will of another. And this is based on the order that God has placed in. Now, is it possible for someone to speak while maintaining submission? Yeah, absolutely. So, if this was a school classroom, okay, and let's just say Brother George was our teacher, and the role as the school classroom is our teacher has the authority in that classroom. And so our goal is to be silent and listen to our teacher. And so by being silent and listening to our teacher, we show submission to him, to his authority, to his position, to his role. But then we have a question, and I put my hand up and I ask a question. And my teacher, he listens to my question and gives me an answer. And I also may at a little time put my hand up and say, I've seen something and I wasn't sure if I've misunderstood this or have I got it correct. And I might say that this is what he understood, and then I would be quiet again. And then my teacher would come back and say, what you've looked at, and he'll say, well, look at it in the context and explain it. At any time had I shown a lack of submission to my teacher? And the answer is no. Because it is possible for people to speak while maintaining submission. For example, you know, that was the aspect of it. So Paul is saying that women are not to speak beyond the point of being in submission. So the submission is based upon the authority of the teacher that has been given in the hands of the brothers to do in the assemblies. And so that was a key aspect of that. Let's look in 1 Corinthians 14, 34 and 35.
Women should remain silent in the churches. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the Lord says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church.
Okay, thank you. So again, we're looking at context here, okay? Says a woman should remain silent, being submissive in the churches. A woman wants to confess, she can confess. A woman singing praises, she'll sing praises. But where's the submission? In the teaching, in the authoritative roles within the assembly of the whole church. And so it says they're not allowed to speak. What does it mean, total silence? Well, we've already said that it's talking about with reference to the teaching, that kind of thing. But must be in submission. That's what we're talking about, as the Lord says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in a church. So now, okay, do we take that literally? Okay, if you've got a question, wait till you get home and ask your husband. I might not have a husband. Yeah, that's a problem. I might have a question that I want to ask now. I need answers now. And so, again, let them ask their own husbands at home. And we'll look at the context of this. What if she doesn't have a husband? What if she's not at home, but merely on the way home? Can she not ask the preacher? Can she not ask the teacher? Can she not ask a question? Can she not ask the elders? Can she not ask her mother? Of course she can. Absolutely. Look at the context. This brings us back again to the context. Remember, the reason that asking their husbands is singled out is for a specific reason. These women who were being talked to and spoken to in this passage were interrupting and disputing their own husbands while they were teaching. So what this is talking about is it's talking about these men teaching and preaching like me, And then say my wife is saying that is wrong and you are wrong and it says this and I'm telling you and you and contradicting me and disrespecting who? Disrespecting God. And so these women were interrupting and disputing with their husbands while their husbands were teaching. And so he says, if they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husbands at home, not in here, publicly like that. So he says, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in the church. Well, we've already understood that women can sin and women can confess and we, you know, we can do all of that. And so this is talking about a situation. This showed that they were not submissive. And the same context of the submissive falls to us now. The women being submissive in the church is what this is talking about. It's refraining. Even if you know you can do it, it's the refraining and saying, no, I honour my God. My God says that the man will teach. The man is going to lead the prayers. The man is going to do all these things. And though I know I'm capable, I'm going to refrain from that. Do you remember we said about earlier in the first scripture about dressing modestly and honouring God? This is what it's about. It's about saying, what does God want me to do? And then addressing the way that I approach these things. So the women were in that situation. This showed that they were not submissive and therefore were acting in a shameful way. And it wasn't just against their husbands, it was against God. And that is the point, that we are here to honour our God in this way. And so there is an order of things in the church. There is an order of how God wants things to be done. The speaking being done by the women was called shameful because they did it in that way. We have already noted that it is not always shameful for women to speak in church with reference to confessing and singing and that kind of thing. So we understand that. In other words, it's possible for women to speak in a way that is not shameful. You know, and so that is why on the Lord's Day, there's no problem with a sister or confessing before God. It is not... It is non-submissive speaking that is the shameful. When people are showing a lack of submissiveness, that is the shame that is being brought upon it. And Paul says that women are not to speak, teach, or have authority over men in the church. That is what it says. It's just the order. In Corinthians 11, he talks about women prophesying and teaching. So is Paul contradicting himself? Wait a minute, there's a passage that people use this passage and say, oh, well, hang on a minute, you're telling them that the women can't. It says that they were doing this, that the women were teaching. That's what it says in Corinthians 11. In the first century church, it was a similar layout to that of a synagogue, because that was what they were used to. So a lot of the worship was very similar to those times. So what would happen is, the men would be in one room and the women would be in another. And so the men would be addressing and teaching the men and the women would be addressing and teaching the women, just like yesterday when the sisters were here. Were the women yesterday showing a lack of respect? No, absolutely not. And so because the first century organisation and worship reflected the synagogue, the women edified each other. And so those who prayed that the Apostle Paul is talking about and those who were teaching, Paul mentioned how they demonstrated the gifts that they used. The women was to the women and the men was to the men. This is not a contradiction by the Apostle Paul in any way, shape or form. And so you see the respect there. Today, of course, the overseeing of leadership by the leaders within the church, the sisters will work as the rest of the church under the overseeing of the leaders in that way. But when there's a sister's things to be taught, they'll be taught. You know, the sisters teach the children. The sisters teach the sisters. Incredible gifts and blessings that we have by God. Let me conclude. Are women less important than men? Are women less important than men? Genesis 1 verse 26 says that both are made in God's image. Both. Male and female. Not a person in this room has not been made in God's image. Galatians 3 says that both equally have salvation in regards to acceptance of God's will and following his will. Salvation, both equally. There's no categorization. Men and women are joint heirs of life. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, joint heirs of life. Some stop there and say, see, women and men can fulfill the same roles with the church and everything else, but God has always insisted the distinction between men and women. And where does it go back to? The first passage we looked at goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. But what is the distinction? Deuteronomy 22, 5 says men and women's clothing must be distinctively different. If I came in here wearing a dress, I think there'd be a lot of people have a lot to say to me about that. They're different. It's distinctive. Men and women's hairstyles are to be distinctive. 1 Corinthians 11, 14. And though this often can create a kind of controversy, Paul does indicate a difference in the approach to worship. And so God has always had a pattern and plan for male and female. You see, us men cannot produce babies. We can't carry babies. You sisters, you can. You'll produce the babies. And you know that you're a mother. I can never be a mother. Ever. I can never be a mother. My wife has been a mother to 7 children. And sometimes I look amazing to think, wow. What a gift, what a talent that you mothers have to bring your children in that way. It's incredible. Listen, I've got a lot of good advice from my wife about my children. From my wife, who's come to me and given me good advice on things. And so there was this difference. There was differences in the Bible. There was differences in purification of birth of male and female children. And so that in Leviticus 12 talks about that, where it's a kind of a difference between the purification. They were different. There were differences in the releasing from vows, even, in Leviticus 27 and so on. Let me conclude with this. Sisters, you know, what we are about as a church is about honouring God. And so there are things that God has set in place that, you know, we observe because we follow him. We follow his will. We're obedient to him. You see, sisters have a ministry of love. And when we do our next section, we're going to talk about these things. Because our sisters are critical. Ministries of teaching, of course, with the children and with one another. Ministries of mentoring and developing and helping grow. Our sisters play a key role in God's work. We are blessed in this congregation with some wonderful, amazing sisters, and we need to give thanks to God for each and every one of them. And so as we go into the next stages, the last three classes, we're going to look at the church, we're going to look at the men, the women, but more in sense of the church. Get an understanding into that section. Okay, we're out of time. Let's go to the Father in prayer.